Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap. We are on the second to last episode for this season.
Aw.
Can you believe it already?
No.
No, I can't.
Because we took a break, so I don't really have a sense of time anymore.
It's hard to tell like where we're at right now. Well, like, yeah, we're recording. This episode is actually in the new year now, so
yeah.
All the previous episodes are going to be outdated, and you're not going to understand any of the references that we make in there.
Except for mine.
Well, Brian always understands Brian's references.
Well, unless you understand 30-year-old references, then maybe still you won't.
Sure. So, in our last episode, we just finished the Temple of Droplets. And when we left there, we were greeted by a ghost.
A lot more ghost use in this game than like in previous Zelda games.
Yes. I know the name of the ghost now. Did he say the name or did it just look like it was the king?
He said who he was.
It said Gustav.
He said Gustav. Okay.
Did he say he was King Gustav?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
We find out who Gustav is later.
Okay.
For sure. But this ghost appears and says, like, hey, you need to go to the back to the temple. And so we go and do that.
Oh, we were going to do that anyway.
Right. I mean, because we have a new element, so... The thing is that when we get a new element, we want to go back to the temple because then we can make a new clone of ourselves.
Yeah.
For each element, we get a new clone.
Yeah.
So we can go back there. This time we do have to do a sneak section.
Yeah.
Getting past the guards.
Yeah, another stealth section.
Yeah, this one took me a minute because I thought that I needed to be small to get over to the other side, which I did. And there was a heart piece and some other kind of treasure or something that I got when I was a Minish. And so I stopped, you know, then I realized that I needed to sneak around, which we all know. I love sneaking so much. Heavy sarcasm.
Never stop sneaking. Yeah, you know, I didn't really think about just how often these little Zelda stealth sections start popping up until we did this show. Because people always go like, oh, it's just like that stealth thing in Ocarina of Time. And I'm like, you mean that 30-second part of the game, unless you got caught a few times? Like, right. Why does everyone reference, oh, there's stealth in Zelda? It's like, I guess. But yeah, these happen a lot more than I remember.
It's a weird staple of the series.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that feels like they were making the game, and they said, games have to have stealth now. Games just have to have stealth. That's what all the kids love.
Yeah, but only sort of because these guards could stand next to you, and as long as they don't turn 90 degrees,
right?
You'll be just fine.
They're dumb.
They do have a cone. They do have a cone, because I did get caught by one that I wasn't literally, like, on his, like, Y-axis.
Okay. We just can't see the cone.
Yeah, so it's still narrow, but there is a cone there. It is not just a laser shot X and Y axis.
Yeah.
Because I kept getting caught. I got caught like 3 times on the last one.
It's the last one for me too.
Because there's 2 guards that are moving like independently from each other. And I would keep like running a little bit and just being like, okay, he shouldn't see me here. And then one of them turns and I'm just like, okay. I'm just not seeing it line up on my game.
Yeah,
right,
you just
now,
have to wait a few times.
This should be the simplest things.
Eventually, the cycle will hit, and you can run through.
Right, and it just didn't seem like I was getting that sync up properly.
Can we find the sword master here in this in the castle garden? Huh?
Yep, you could go to the sword master here.
Yeah, Francis the Savannah Chitlin pimp.
I didn't see him. Yeah, I have been missing a lot of these guys.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, right. There is one.
I gotta go back.
Mm-hmm.
I found him earlier, but you have to have the lantern.
That's right.
Actually,
oh, that guy.
Technique.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw him, but didn't have the lantern at the
time. I only so ran into a couple of things while I was running errands this week for this week's episode, where I needed a lantern. Because I've seen them running around before, and I was like, oh yeah, I want to get the lantern, I'll take care of that. But I only saw, I only remembered where like a couple of them were, or only stumbled into a couple of them this week. There's probably more out there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's pretty straightforward when we get into the temple. We just took a little detour around there.
Yeah.
We go through, power up, we're good to go.
Yeah, it dumps us out right by the door, that little side door.
Right. Now, since we have been off for a while, I did spend a lot of time trying to do as many of the kinstones that I could.
Yeah.
I did that
some
too.
Some of the things I got were the timed bombs.
Oh, I forgot about those. Are they time bombs or are they remote bombs?
It's yes, remote bombs. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. The regular ones are timed.
I forgot that was in bombs. Here. I haven't found the. Can we get the shield yet? I haven't found that either.
There's a shield.
Yeah. Yeah. Because one of the things I was doing was
a mirror shield.
Yeah. I finally started reading Lucius Leftfoot's newsletters, which are like 200 rubies a pop, which. That's fine. I need things to spend money on anyway. So.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But it's kind of weird because they have, it's information Zelda games would normally give you for free in like the library. Like it's the tips. Like, you know, hey, if you see this enemy running around, hit it with your sword. Or hit it with your shield. It'll flip it over or whatever. But each newsletter also gives you like at the very end like a really juicy rumor about a secret item somewhere in the game. Remote bombs or different stuff like that. So
juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juicy.
I read the first one of those, the first one or two, but I haven't gone back and actually read them again. I don't know if I need another shield. I never use the shield anyway. Only have
yeah.
Yeah. Same.
I did for a second yeah. This episode. I would have used it more if, you know, on one of the certain more magical enemies, but not having it was okay. The boomerang served me well.
Oh, yeah. I love that boomerang.
I know,
I
me too.
I use it a lot.
Yep.
I will say those remote bombs, pretty good.
That would, yeah, that would be another good thing.
Yeah, like you can just drop them down and sort of coax an enemy to come towards you mm-hmm. and then bomb them.
And you don't have to You don't have to throw them down and hope that the enemy will mm-hmm. be there when they finally go off in 8 seconds.
Right.
Sometimes I can do double damage.
Yeah.
I can throw it at them, and that damages them, and then blow it up.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, because I haven't
been
doing...
With 99 bombs, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't been doing a lot of my throwing of skulls and jars in this one, so... That'd be nice to throw bombs at things and have them hurt.
Yes.
Right. Anything else that we did some exploring the Kinstone stuff? There's some stuff that stands out later. We'll wrap around to a later area.
I did find, I think I found 3 of the 4 underground entrances to, there's that spot underneath Hyrule Town where you have to like.
Do you need to know where the last one is?
No. I mean, I'll find it, of course, but.
Okay.
yeah, I've pushed, I think. 3 of the boulder or 2 of the boulders in.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third one. And then, yeah. And then I found the other entrance that you need to go after you've done all 3 of them.
Yeah. I believe the rewards are just rupees.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. As long as they're not shells.
No.
They might be shells too. But I'm not really useful. Not new items.
No, I'm maxed on shells and I'm not stepping foot back in that tree ever again. But there was a lot of shells in this episode.
There was. And I expected like that underground to be more. I was disappointed. I'm like, really? That's it?
Yeah, it's just
all 4.
The fun of finding different entrances. But yeah, there's not much to it. The sword also doesn't get any stronger with more elements, right?
Not stronger, no.
I don't think so.
You just do more. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I figured it out. Has anyone finished all the rental properties, or can we at this point?
I don't know. I didn't.
Okay.
I tried, and I couldn't figure out how to do it, like, the last bit.
It'll be a Kinstone thing.
Bizarro Luigi will just eventually be standing around somewhere with, like, and, you know, looking busy, and you'll kind of talk to him, but I still have one left to do, so. But I took care of that, and he also said something weird, Bizarro Luigi, said, I've lined up a sizable pile of cash from my rental properties. Maybe I should start breeding pets next.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, breeding pets is fine, but why is that nefarious to you? What are you going to do with those pets, man?
Yeah, I don't know what he has planned for that. But again, he's just like, I'm going to go into real estate. And it's just like, okay. I mean, that's not necessarily evil.
Yeah, you're benefiting.
Well, you know, the evil empire hatched from a real estate deal, so.
Yeah, it does.
Does he remind anybody else of the evil guy from Lon Lon Ranch in Ocarina?
That's who he's supposed to be.
That's him.
Well, I guess he's supposed to be
Bizarro Luigi.
This is the Gourmon variant, the Gourmon troop variant from Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's basically Ingo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I seem to be collecting a lot of kinstones with nobody to match them to, and I keep on buying like all of the Goron kinstones, you know, like they're in Hyrule Town, just to get rid of like all of my rupees, because I have nothing better to spend my rupees on, reaching the max.
I'm still finding stuff. Do we need to buy rupees from that Goron, like one of each, to like fulfill some quest or something?
I don't recall. I mean, I definitely emptied my coffers at the beginning of my playthrough on this.
Yeah,
I'm at 999 again already.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the end of this, I'm in the upper 900s. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. He just, that Goron in town has a little help me thing over his head in town. So I was like, I don't know what I have to do with him.
At one point, I opened a chest and there were 200 rupees inside. And I was already maxed out at 999, and I was upset for a second, and then I thought about it, and I spent most of the last two sessions with maxed out money anyway. I'm not doing anything with it.
And this isn't one of the Zeldas where they've introduced the mechanic of come back for it. Does that eventually happen in Zelda? You'd be like, just leave this here. I can try it again later. Like Breath of the Wild lets you do that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that happened before Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I don't remember. It did, I want to say, in Link Between Worlds, it does that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that would have been nifty here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll notice it when it does happen. So, if there isn't anything else, let's go ahead and like move on with our adventure.
Yeah.
With our ability to move a 3-size block. Now,
right,
we can go into the graveyard. That's where we are told to go next.
The Royal Valley. There. It sounds much nicer than that.
Oh,
than
yeah.
The graveyard.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, yeah, it gets creepy the second you walk in there.
Yeah.
I like the music.
You got the dead trees. You have to have your lantern out to really see fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Like, occasionally we get this take on the Lost Woods where it's, like, real creepy. Like, usually they lean more into the realistic, like, this is a dark, spooky woods with bugs and spiders and stuff. But they never really... It's a lot more rare for them to be like, let's have dead trees and crows and, you know, like, Link to the Past does that. I think... No, the Link's Awakening one was just more of a creepy wooded area, but not like a dead Halloween creepy wooded area. I think
there's always undertones of like children being lost and never found again.
Yeah.
And them and stuff like that. But dun, dun, dun. This is just straight up more gothic as opposed to like grim.
I can't tell
what it is about the lantern that makes me love it so much, but I just using it in this game, the lantern in this game, I just love it.
I do too.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's handy.
Mm-hmm. Did any of you stop at the Great Fairy and get the arrow upgrade?
Oh
no. Oh, wait. Maybe.
She quizzes you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your quiver? Is it an upgrade to your quiver? More arrows?
Yes.
Okay, then no, I did not get that. I have a different arrow upgrade.
She gives you a little quiz about like what you've done in this game.
Okay.
It's like the identity theft quiz. Like, what's your grandpa's name? Where do you live? What have you been doing?
Right.
Right.
Have you ever lived at one of these residences?
What's that Bruce Springsteen live album called?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, but we do have a sort of Lost Woods haunted forest in here. And this one's different than the others because it just flat out has a sign that tells you where to go. But eventually it's just sort of like, oh, do the one that you did two turns ago.
I kind of like it, though.
You have to remember each of those.
I like it better than just having the list posted at the outside of the forest or having an NPC two screens away go, if you do it like this, you could get through. Like, it makes you, it's a lot, you're still memorizing things, but it's a lot more fun than just, you know, here, study this, take a quiz in a minute.
I also accidentally cut down one of the signs. I was like, I was trying to read it, and I accidentally hacked it. I was
start
like,
again.
Oh, crap. I'm like, oh, I laughed at myself.
BC?
Yeah, no, I basically what Jess said, I knocked down the sign a couple times, and so I had to start over. But I think it would have added a little bit of difficulty if they put more enemies, so it was a more realistic chance of you knocking down the sign just trying to save yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be an instance of, like, fun trolling.
Personally, my favorite of the Lost Woods is still in Ocarina, where you had to listen. Like,
yeah.
We haven't had it anything like that
listen.
Since, where you actually had to, like, get close and listen to the sounds of, like, how things were going. Like, you had to be like, okay, I hear Saria's song that I have to go, and if I get near it here, you can hear it louder over that way. And I know that might be harder to do with a Game Boy Advance, but mm-hmm. I still miss that. I still think that's my favorite one.
I also like, they use that mechanic again in Majora's Mask for the Dompei-style chase thing with the mm-hmm. butler. Also, mm-hmm. music. I don't know if it's music, but you can hear him.
You can. You can follow the music, but you can also, like, see him. It's a combination.
I think, actually, in our season, I told a story about how I picked two or three dungeons, or two or three directions blindly based on his sound alone. Like, the mm-hmm. the whirring right. noise of him. So, they did, yeah, they bring that back. But I wish they would use that more. You're right.
Yeah. So we get through that and we come up to Dompei's house.
Yeah.
Dompei the Gravekeeper.
I was expecting like maple or syrup, but yeah.
I love when you go and talk to him. He's just like, oh, you're because the ghost? Yeah, I know him. I talk to him all the time. Here's the key. And that's it. Like, he doesn't really do anything
else.
It's just, he's so nonchalant about it.
It's a waste of a cameo, though. Like, he doesn't do anything. It's just like, oh, hey, here's Dompei.
I was happy to see him, though.
Then I was just like, oh, why didn't they didn't do anything with you?
I know. It was a little
sad. This
whole
section right here seems, or this little segment, I should say, seems so out of place or unnecessary because you get the key, you walk outside, birds immediately steal the key. And so in my mind, I was thinking, okay, we have to go off to some side area and search for the bird and the key. But you walk 20 feet away, knock the bird out of a tree, and then Dompei opens the gate for you anyway.
He takes the key back.
You have to give, yeah,
it's like
you
some
have
Alundra
to give
thing.
The key back to open it. It's weird.
I was expecting like some sort of heart pounding grave digging tour, like Dompei game to get the key, and then he just hands it to me, and I was just kind of upset. I was like, all right, I guess bye, character I sort of like.
right.
Yeah, and then the key is stolen from you. I was like, oh, okay, so yeah. I guess there will be a thing I have to do. No. No. Not at all.
No, just a little tedium.
Maybe his grip would have been tighter if he just held the key the whole time, and the bird may have, like, we would have skipped all of this if he just done what he was going to do in the first place and unlocked the door for it. Hey, here, follow me, buddy.
That's such the cliche video game thing where it's like you get bumped up against someone and apparently the special item you had was like hanging out of your pocket already that a little bump would knock it out.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Oh no.
So we then open up to sort of the main graveyard area. There is a ghost that we can talk to named Spookter.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do want to talk to him twice for the Kinstones.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. the first one, he just unlocks a new difficulty setting in the random money-making game, which I don't like those games anyway.
Yeah,
so
no.
It's like, I don't care.
Money-making game.
And then if you do it a second time, it makes the one ghost that's at Hyrule Town go away.
Yeah.
He has an epiphany.
He finally leaves. Yeah, he leaves this plane of existence and ascends. But apparently I had already talked to the chick up there.
See, that's what I'm confused about, what exactly happened there. Because I got up and he was like, oh, I'm good. Thanks. I was like, I don't.
Yeah, I must have like sequence break something that I turned Minish before the ghost appeared. Because I went through all that and then I went up to him and he sort of talked as if we already fused Kinstones.
Yeah, I know. I was a little upset about that.
I didn't get it.
I wanted to look it up, but at the time I was like, I'm just going to keep moving. I can take care of that later.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't even bother going back there. I did the fusions, but
it's you have to fuse to get past a guy to fuse.
Yes, I mean that is this game. There are a couple, so there's two gravestones we can push, but only one of them has an entrance. The other one doesn't do anything.
I don't think so. I tried to dig there, but
same.
It wouldn't let me, and
nothing happened.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a throw.
The other one has a heart piece down there. So yeah, that's good to get. But then we gotta use our three-man cloning technique.
Yes.
To hit some switches, and then we can go down into the Royal Crypt, which is a mini dungeon.
And we don't know exactly why we're here yet, do we? We don't know who we're going to see and why we're going to see them.
We know who we're going to see.
We know we're going to see Gustav. We don't know who. Like, do we know he's the king, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we at least know we're going to see a dead king, but we don't know why.
But you have to, like, one point, you have to move that gravestone to, in order to clone yourself and move past and get down.
So, that's why we move the other one.
That's why you move it.
Oh,
or else you would have hit it.
No, I just forced my way through a couple of those graves. They were, my clones were starting to get a little grayed out, but I made it through.
But that's why you're supposed to.
We do. Shadow of the Wild!
So, when we go into the Royal Crypt, we are greeted by a new type of enemy, the Gyptos.
Yay! And
did any of you guys burn these guys? That's the very first thing I did.
I did, but I didn't want to, because I just wanted to, like, hang out with them for a little bit. They gave me a hug. It was nice. It was good to see them. It's good to see them.
I didn't even realize you could burn them. I just hit them with a boomerang and slashed them.
They turn.
I think we talked
about
this.
Them, they turn into Staphos, and then they're easier to kill.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in Zelda 1, where when do they start the burning of the Gyptos into Skellies. And I think it's A Link to the Past, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're much easier to take out, but they're not as cute.
Okay, so when we get into here, we do get, I think you fight them, they drop a key, and then we come up to an area where there's three key doors.
Yeah.
Now, I went into the middle one first for some reason, but I never got a chance to go into the other ones afterwards.
Oh, okay.
The other two are fake.
They slap you.
Remember the Ocarina of Time doors that just are fake and will slam down on top of you if you walk up to them?
Boom!
I never even got prompted with it. I was, for whatever reason, I just rolled the dice and was like, I'm going to go in the middle door.
Yeah, that's kind of
dumb. Correct one to go through.
I mean, I like this little area. You know, that it's got a really great arrangement of the Zelda 1 dungeon music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like a couple little combat challenges, a couple little Link cloning puzzles. It was fun.
And then when we go through all that, Gustav is there and he's just like, here's a golden Kinstone, which is just weird to me because they're like, the Kinstones are presented as if like they're a little game that kids play with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, here's my Kinstone from beyond the grave.
Like, Zelda games haven't ever really shied away from death, but Yeah, I like the use of ghosts here better than the use of ghosts in Wind Waker, which is really more of just one guy. But I feel like they got the idea of using ghosts from Wind Waker, then just did it better. There's like multiple ghosts here. They're out in the open. People know about them. Right. The sword guys openly talk about the dead ghost sword guy that they know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of like the use of ghosts in this game.
Yeah. So we're gonna go ahead and leave the crypt now, and before we go on, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk more about the Minish Cap.
Hey everyone, we just wanted to take a second to give a shout out to our new patron, Donald Fuller. Donald's favorite Zelda game is the Minish Cap, perfect timing for this season. And Donald writes that even though he's been playing Zelda since the NES days, the Minish Cap was the first Zelda game to really suck him in. Donald's favorite Zelda item is the Aether Medallion, and his favorite Zelda-like is 3D.GameHeroes. If you'd like a listener shout-out like this, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/shadowthewild and subscribe for $1 or more. Support through Patreon just helps us with hosting costs for the podcast and also helps us get gear so that we can do more stuff for you, like weekly streams. Starting on Wednesdays, we're going to be doing streams from 6 to 9. Brian's going to be playing through some Zelda likes and some classic Zeldas. So if you're on Twitch, feel free to check us out there. And we just want to say we appreciate all the support we've been getting from our patrons and new listeners. It just really keeps us motivated to keep making the podcast and churning out great content for all of you. Now back to the show.
The award-winning Go Nintendo podcast is the best place to get the latest news on the world of Nintendo. We cover the biggest stories, share impressions of the latest games, and answer your burning questions. There's also some general pop culture talk, game music trivia, a heaping helping of silliness, and did I mention our sassy robot companion?
I'm the star of the show.
Catch new episodes of the Go Nintendo podcast every Saturday on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Hi, we're Ellen,
Steven,
and Mark,
hosts of Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
Topics include programming, design, tools, and more.
We also do interviews and one-hour game jams.
Listen to Nice Games Club wherever you get to your podcast. You get there. Or at nicegames.club.
And we are back. So, really what we got to do is we can just go straight forward to where the North Hyrule Field is, and there's the Vale Falls.
Did any of you stop and do Kinstone stuff in the interim of this?
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I do it as I go.
Yeah.
There's a couple of fusions that the fusions with the Goddess Sisters unlock after this. So that was
okay.
One thing I did.
Oh.
I went around and upgraded all the upgrades you get from them.
Oh,
it's super useful for the section that's about to come up.
Well, that would have been nice.
Good to know.
I wanted to use this time to impart some words of wisdom from Ezlo. because if you smash that select button, you'll just hear all sorts of stuff. Straighten up your hair once I'm gone. You got a style all over the ladies. La la la, la 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 are the words to his new hit single, Live Long, Love Long, which, quote, explodes with fiery passion or fiery romance. And also, he woke up from a dream where he forgot to study for the test. So,
did he really say all those things?
Yeah, these are all things that I discussed, that he discussed with me.
Magical.
Yeah. I do not use that select button often enough.
Yeah, we really are just like wasting that writing that
live long, love long, baby.
Words of wisdom. Yes, indeed.
So yeah, anything else before we get back to Vale Falls?
No. Only that those blue bomber pea hats are awful.
Oh, I hate them.
They suck.
Hate them!
Sorry, BC. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there's another upgrade that I think we can get, well, that I got after I did the graveyard, but It increases the speed with which you you charge up your spin.
We can do that now?
Thank God.
We can do that now?
Thank God.
Oh, I got to go find that. Because there was a couple of the challenges in this dungeon that needed you to have some precise timing on those fill-ups.
Mm-hmm.
A faster bar would have been a lot.
That would have been so much easier with the boss.
Oh, and the boss. Yes. Oh, man.
Ugh.
I got lucky on a lot of those, but yeah.
That's annoying. Yeah.
Between this, between the faster charging and the faster digging, I'm super glad I got them both before this section.
Okay.
Very jealous.
Yeah.
I am jealous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're starting to get really good Kinstone rewards.
Finally. So the veil falls. Really, it's you just climb up this sort of mountainous area.
Yeah,
you go through. It's a bit of a maze. You're in some caves here and there that some go up, some come outside.
Yeah. It's a Mount Crenell Redux. Sorry.
Yes. Not really anything that stands out here. You know, we eventually when we get near the top, there is a fast travel point that we can unlock, so we can come back here later if we need to.
I have to retract the advice that Jess and I gave in a previous episode about rupees always being found around waterfalls. There were none to be had in Vail Falls, which is weird because it's named after
the
waterfalls.
There's maybe only two that really applies to.
Yeah, so. But so far, I hadn't run into one that didn't have money, so I figured it was a safe bet.
Right.
Also, lantern and magic boomerang combo throughout here was was really nice to have.
Right. So yeah, we make our way to the top. We do go past what is obviously a giant Goron.
Yes.
We can't do anything with him yet.
No, we cannot.
We just see the top of his head.
Oh, all right, and he's sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's involved with the shield quest, I believe.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I haven't done anything with it, so he just I just saw the top of his head. That's
yeah, he didn't really say anything.
I knew exactly who it was.
I tried to interact with him, but to no avail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is a giant tornado at the end that when we get to it, when we get close to it, Ezlo is just like, oh, it's a dead end. Just keep away from that thing.
Yeah, he's just like, well, that sucks. Let's try something else, I guess.
I'm like, yeah. You're a chicken. Chicken!
He's a
bird hat.
Yeah.
So if we jump into that whirlwind, we get shot up into the clouds. And that takes us up to the cloud tops, where we have a long sort of collectathon puzzle kind of thing here.
Yeah.
Where we have to drop down between two different levels of clouds and float around from the little whirlwinds, collecting gold Kinstone pieces and then taking them to the spots where they need to go to.
Yeah, we've already used the King's gold Kinstone to get through Vail Falls, so these are new gold Kinstone pieces.
Yes.
It's pretty straightforward, but if you miss one thing, you can spend forever flying around circles trying to remember what I went there, right? Did I find that?
Yeah.
Did I do all of it? What did I not do?
Uh-huh. I did that towards the end.
They design it in a way where it looks like there is a single path that you can circle all the way around that then takes you back to the beginning to put in your last one, I believe. But if you deviate at all with that, it just throws you off.
Yep.
And there's no marker on your map, so you can't necessarily say, oh, I've been to this area, I've been to this area.
Yeah.
Every time you jump in and out of the levels, the clouds that you can dig through reset.
Yep.
So you can't even really remember that either.
Or take a shortcut through one of those areas with your glidey, when you're gliding.
Right.
There's one spot at the bottom that I completely missed. And it's what I needed to hook around and get back to the middle. I spent a long time just flying in circles.
I did too.
There's also a couple parts where you have to kill the fish in order to open up the the mound of clouds that is hiding a piece.
Yeah.
And it isn't clear.
No, it's not.
It isn't clear that we're supposed to do that to trigger that.
Well, I mean, it should be clear because it's a traditional Zelda mechanic of 2D Zelda mechanic, but they haven't really been using it in this game, so I didn't really consider it, I guess.
Right. I think the thing that's super confusing about it is that there's one of those cloud pillars right at the start of the area, and as far as I can tell, it doesn't do anything. Or maybe that's where the tornado eventually appears when you're done with everything. But you see one of these, and it doesn't do anything, so you're already accustomed to thinking that this is just scenery.
Okay, so you're
not thinking about,
I have
to do something to interact with this.
Yeah, whereas you see the giant frozen cloud walls and go, I wonder how that works.
Yeah, it took me a minute to figure out that I had to dig at the cloud walls.
Yeah.
That's what stumped me. I wasn't stumped by like the killing the fish piranha things. I got tripped up. I think it was like towards the end. I missed one that was like higher up, like in the back on the second level. That one definitely got me tripped up, and I just didn't like loop around properly. But it took me, and then I had to like, I looped all the way back around. I'm like, oh, I just need to go the other way or something like to that effect. But it definitely took me a second, like one of the last ones. But I like the cute little cloud minish people up here, like the two. But like they didn't really thank you for like rescuing them from the cloud. Like they just like, as soon as you unlock the tornado, they just like peace out.
Oh, the cloud people?
Yes. Or
yeah,
they
were just like, thanks. We want to get home.
Yeah. Right.
This is basically an airport terminal to us. We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Right. So when we get through all of that, we do the last little level on top of the clouds. There is a giant house up there that Ezlo comments of just like, how can you build a house on the clouds? Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are frozen, dense cloud walls that we have to dig up. So, yeah. How does any of this work?
And this is the building that we had access to a while ago.
Yeah.
There was a little teleporter that you could find that took you here. And so if you did the stuff before where you helped the old man with the spirit that was haunting him, and then come back up to here, he's like, well again. And for whatever reason, he's just like, oh yeah, thanks for helping me earlier. By the way, here's the light arrows. it's a legendary item that's been in other games, but here you go.
Yeah.
No fanfare whatsoever.
These are not nearly as strong as normal light arrows, though. Normal light arrows will just
but
like...
But they are more powerful arrows.
They're just better arrows. And you use them by holding the arrow, like the shooting button down, like you hold it there for a while, and then it'll sparkle when you let go.
Well, that makes me mad because I totally forgot to go back once we discussed it on and help him out, because when you go in that room and you haven't saved him, there's just like three treasure chests there. I forget. I think they have like Ken stones or something in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Shells.
So no light arrows for Jess. Womp womp.
Well, just go back. I mean, did you help him now? Have you helped him now?
No, I've kind of like so after you finish this temple, I have now gotten myself stuck in the last part of the game, I'm pretty sure. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all of the side quests, which makes me really
okay.
upset.
You'll be able to.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably even step back on the warp pad and save him and get the light arrows.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need to go the normal way, or the way that we went this episode.
Yeah.
Right, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we make our way up this building, and they have the Wind Tribe Elder at the very top. And basically
Sirach.
We get permission from them. Sirach.
Yeah, he's getting turned.
They give us permission to use the giant whirlwind at the top.
Thank you.
So we go all the way up there, and it's this like nice, elegant thing with like these colorful birds up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I love the birds.
Chilling.
So this actually took me a minute because I thought as soon as I talked to like the dude that he would just like step aside and let me walk through that door, and that's
right.
where the tornado would be. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I had that problem too.
Can you move? Can you move? And I'm like, where else am I supposed to go?
I guess I didn't talk to him enough times or something, because I like left the house. I was like, maybe the entrance is somewhere else, and came back and talked to him, and he just moved. I was like, man.
I thought maybe I missed something, but you like you walk out and you go and you talk to that other person.
Yeah, they have to give him permission.
And then yeah, and they're like, oh, I'm too afraid to, you know, go up to the blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh my god. Like it's like I already
Goodness.
Talked to you. Okay, sorry. I digress.
Anyway. Yeah. My gus jar was getting a lot of love in this temple with the skeleton heads everywhere and me never trusting them to not be Stalfos.
So
when we jump up to there, we get to the entrance of the Palace of Winds, which we're in an official dungeon now.
Yeah.
And this one is a lot in terms of navigation compared to every other dungeon in here. Because it is, you can fall at any time, and you do take damage from these falls this time. They're not easy like they were before.
It's like a quarter heart, though.
Yeah, but if you keep falling.
Well, you know.
If you keep falling, because you can't get the double jump over
and over
again. There's
no double jump, Jess.
Yeah,
there's
is
a single
double jump.
There's a single jump.
There's a single jump and a glide.
Yeah,
a high
whatever.
Jump.
Whatever it is. It was maddening, and I thought I was going to... And then, like, my stupid, like Wii U pad was not picking up the fact that I was pressing the button at the... I'm like, I don't know what more you... I just did this before, and you won't let me do it again. And I'm like, I just started creating a save state for, like, every time I, like, so I didn't have to go back to it. I'm like, if I have to do that, you know, I call it a double jump. Do not correct me. Like, if I have to do that double jump one more time, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it.
Okay. First of all, I would say I'm on Team Jess here. It is a double jump because it puts you up higher than you normally would.
Thank you.
You have to jump up clouds.
It does have
if
a...
you single jump... You don't get up there. If you double jump, you do.
It does have a selecticize. I'll give you that.
You have to press it twice.
No, you don't.
You can hold it.
You just hold it. You hold it.
You just hold it.
It's a half A press,
you can
Jess.
Hold the button.
No.
It's one half A press or B press if you put it on B.
I put it on B, and it does not just like it's one thing. It just like it always made me press it twice.
Yeah, I'm not going to reiterate just how much I love the Rock's Cape and this dungeon, because I've been doing it the entire series, but yeah, so I think it's great.
Of course you do.
No, I Jess, I'm going to blame your Wii U gamepad.
Yeah, I'm using a wireless... I'm using a wired controller. It's called a Game Boy SP, so I don't have any like latency issues or anything.
I didn't have any problems with the gliding. On this at all. Like, that wasn't really my issue. My issue was I got lost at one point. That was my own fault because I was trying to find a heart piece.
Yep.
And I was trying to, like, navigate halfway back.
And at that point,
oh,
we did
I
not
needed
know.
To just keep going forward. Yeah, I just needed to keep going forward because I thought, oh, I've got the boss key. Boss is coming up. No, they really subvert the boss key, boss door stuff on this.
And fight. And the fight before, you know, that you think it like, so yeah, we've gotten the Rock's Cape at this point. And they give you you're like, oh, I guess we're already done here. And it's a dark nut on a like small platform.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of charging at you. And so all you have to really do is sidestep him and like kind of poke him once and he will just fall right off the platform. Just really tense battle, you know?
So, oh, I just used my remote bombs. Like, I just put one down and, like, stepped away and then just kept blasting him.
Oh, yeah.
Stun him each time.
Just, I was like, oh, that was That was anticlimactic. He just fell off after one hit.
Oh.
But it was sort of, it was like a, yeah, this is not a real fight. This is a throw-off fight.
Oh, I fought him. This is where I actually use my jump to jump over him and stab him in the back.
Oh.
Jump and stab. Jump and stab. Jump and
you can
stab.
Roll past pretty much any enemy in this game.
Yeah.
Your roll
much,
is invincible.
I figured since they gave us, you know, the cape that I was, you know, supposed mm-hmm. to use the cape. So yeah. I just used the cape. But going like we've gotten a little ahead of ourselves because I want to go back to
way ahead.
Yes. I want to go back to the stupid what are they called? The ones that have those. They're like
the ball and chain. The
yes.
Mace.
That's ahead of us. We haven't gotten there yet.
Nope. That's the room right before.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's just.
It makes you think
that
it's over because you've got the two ball and chain guys, right?
They were like they were harder than that. You know, than the. They were the hardest thing for me in this entire . They took me a minute, and I only had, I barely got any hearts throughout the entire stinking dungeon. I think I had 3.5 hearts left, and no fairies. I went through my fairies.
There was a spark real close to that room that you could hit with a boomerang.
There is an anti-fairy in the next room.
Yeah, anti-fairy, yeah.
Guys, there's an anti-fairy that you can turn into a fairy.
Yeah,
sorry.
Spark
is the Mario name, sorry.
I keep on having issues with how to turn the anti-fairy. And then kept on murdering me. I'm like, forget
boomerang.
It.
Boomerang okay. turns into a fairy.
Okay, thanks. So anyways, they killed me I don't know how many freaking times. A million freaking times. And
this is the section where I did end up using my shield for once. Where I would just kind of stand there, and then when they did their long throw, I just got behind them and chopped them a bit. Did that a couple times on each guy.
I initially did my shield, and then I thought arrows. But you have to time it just right to, get them with the arrows, which I eventually did. And then they got me down to the quarter heart, and this is when my that scroll came in handy where, you know, it shoots you know, like when you do your sword or whatever.
Yeah,
so
your
it was
desperation.
My desperation. So I got him with a quarter heart. arrows and quarter heart, and then you go into it so I saved it. And then of course they give you stupid giant rupees. I'm like, I don't need rupees. I've got 999999999. I need hearts. You've murdered me.
It'd be great if they gave you giant hearts, but they only give you one heart when they drop hearts. Here you go.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, so then I go to the next room and it's those two what's in there? Two Stafflos, I feel like, and a fire thing, maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I just used my boomerang, and then I found, a couple rooms down, they gave me, there's a base with a single heart, and I kept on going in and out of the room, breaking the base until I, stocked up on, all the hearts. I'm like, you stupid game, you just gave me, all the hearts, and it made me very happy. But I survived
I the music
on
also...
a quarter of a heart for a long time. Huh?
Yeah, I think the music also changes when we get to this level.
It does.
If I'm not mistaken.
It changes twice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like the music.
Yeah, me too.
So the way this dungeon works is that the first half of it, we're basically on the outside of a tower, it seems like. We're in a Game Boy Advance 2D game. They aren't explicit. We can't just turn the camera and figure out what they intend here.
Mm-hmm.
But it
but they also don't want you to know. This whole dungeon is a bunch of secrets that unfold in front of you, and
yeah,
but it's still really linear.
We get through what is the halfway point that feels like it could be the full thing, and then that just opens up the interior of this tower that we have to go through. And
yeah.
So it really throws you off. There's a number of things that we go where we have to work with fans on the outside that you have to either hide in little holes to get around the fans or time it just right where you can use the fan to make a really long jump or even use the Cane of Pachi to make a warp thing at the end of one that you have to like run just the last second and get into and bounce yourself up. There's a lot of navigation and a lot of sort of like, you have to constantly be thinking about, okay, where am I going to jump to? How am I going to jump onto that? What switch am I going to hit to extend this bridge out here?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of moving around. And we don't really have any other dungeon like that in this game.
Yeah.
That is just so much of being like, all right, you can't really sit still for too long.
No, you can't.
And a lot of the puzzles aren't really just, all right, grab key, move on, you know, grab key, open that door. Like it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, movement based to some extent, but yeah, it does feel like it's linear. Like you're just moving in a straight line, but it's interesting. I don't know. Everything like it, the things. Yeah. I don't know. Cut me off. I don't care.
I would say I didn't feel like it is linear for the most part, but there's a bunch of different side rooms you can go to. There was tons of mm-hmm. extra stuff that I found that I would go into a room thinking that I absolutely had to do this. And it's just, oh, this just connects me to another section for backtracking, or it gives me a kinstone or rupees. And I think especially toward the end, like, this dungeon differs in that you get the compass and the map in the second half of the dungeon.
Yeah,
the last dungeon.
Yeah, I kept thinking I was missing something.
I thought I was an idiot because I was like, oh, I still like, sometimes I get through and I haven't found one of them, but to be this far and not find any of them, I was like, right. I am off my game.
Yeah, and so you get the map and the compass toward the end, and I opened up the map, and I just thought, oh, there's so much more I have to do, and I don't understand how I'm going to get there, because the way you move between floors, whether you're like jumping up through clouds or falling down or jumping across things,
mm-hmm.
like there's no way to intuit how you're going to navigate the rest of the dungeon just from looking at the map.
It's that is true.
This room. It's linear, but you're going all over the place. So it just feels like you're wandering this sprawling dungeon.
Yeah. I feel like Eagle Tower was kind of like that, where we had these two big floors, you know, the first floor and the second floor. They were really huge, and you didn't kind of move through them in a logical way, but to knock the pillars out, but
mm-hmm.
just by finding all of the pillars, you naturally went through every, like, I got done with all four pillars and looked at my map and was like, oh, I traveled through every single room in here doing this. It was just not in a, you know, a way that made sense in my brain. I was just popping up and all over the place.
I honestly thought when it gave me the map, I was like, oh, this is just a waste of time. Why are you giving it to me towards like the end? Like, I'm like, I don't need you now. Yeah. But then it became really useful, like with some of the stuff, you know, like with dropping down on floors and trying to find some of the treasure chests and et cetera. So I was pretty pleased with that.
So this does bring in at the very end of this whole dungeon, another staple of the 2D Zeldas, of having levels on the floor that you have to figure out different ways to get from floor 2 to floor 3. It isn't just always using the stairs. Sometimes it's falling down. Sometimes it's finding another stairway. And this one isn't nearly as explicit about that. And it can, like, fortunately it clicked with me quick, but there's a part at the end where you literally have to break a cracked floor in order to fall through, and it doesn't actually, like, say
that wasn't fair. That was the last thing I tried on that one. But if you will notice in this game, they've, or at least in this dungeon, I don't remember in previous ones, if there is a spot that they want you to fall through, there will be tiles on that floor that are have a diagram, like, or have a design on them, and then when you are a floor above, you can see that little design on the floor below, and that's how it, like, hey, this is a floor you can drop to, as opposed to just one you fall through and go like, ah, I'm hurt, or ah, I wasn't supposed to fall here.
Right.
Yeah,
but when I saw those broken tile things or whatever, like, I'm like, yeah, that's too, like, it's too sectioned off for you not to do something with it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I tried everything else before going, all right, this is probably it, And if not, I just have to backtrack a little bit.
Right.
There's also another room in there that has a bunch of those red exploding bomb guys.
Yes.
That you have to, like, very carefully move your, like, snake your way around them without touching any of them. And the first time I went into there, I was like, oh, so I need to hit this switch without triggering the rest of them. Like, nope, the switch is what does it. So if you hit any of them, it triggers it and it hits the switch. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I had it totally backwards in my brain when I first walked into the room.
I did too.
There's also a thing with the hitbox for your sword and for switches will, like, immediately activate the switch but put your sword away. So there's a couple of puzzles where you need to be facing in a certain direction while charging your sword so that you won't trip a switch by accident before you're ready to hit all the switches, which I thought was kind of a cool, thing that made a simple, like, puzzle that we would see all the time different, like just one little tweak to it. You know, I was like, right. Oh, that's cool. That's cool that the you could just do that.
Mm-hmm. They were clever.
So any other standouts in this before we get to the boss, the real boss?
I mean, whiz robes eventually show up once you get to this area.
A lot of whiz robes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Having an upgraded shield would be nice, but like I said, just hit him with the boomerang.
Mm-hmm. Love that boomerang.
I would say that another thing that stuck out was that how many, like, danger rooms, I would call them. Like, there weren't.
There was
a mini boss in the Dark Nut, kind of, but there were so many rooms where it was just like you walk in and all of a sudden there's a billion whiz robes or there's, you know, guys popping out from nowhere and you're locked in this room. And so that happened a lot in this dungeon. And I think the other thing is, I feel like there were a lot of ways to go about navigating the puzzles and the fights, because, you know, having the, for once I found the anti-fairy for a lot of this dungeon, I had full power or full hearts. So using the sword beam makes a lot of the puzzles in the first half of the dungeon easier. And it kind of, I was like, I'm doing this, but I don't understand how the game wants me to do it, because I wouldn't necessarily have the sword beam here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Is that what, never mind. Yeah.
So here we are at the weirdest boss battle.
Yeah.
In any of the Zelda games.
Oh,
honestly,
man. Love this battle.
Not saying it's bad, but man, is it bizarre.
This boss battle rips.
This is Georg.
Oh, is that what they call him?
It is. Yeah, it is two flying manta rays.
Yeah.
A big red boy and a little blue boy. And you have to hit their eyes, but they are going to be intersecting each other.
Yeah.
Where you're going to have to jump from one to the other. And then if you're on the big red guy, you have to multiply yourself in the exact pattern that the eyes show up in order to,
or close,
like,
to
actually
it.
Expose its weak point. And then you're dodging a bunch of little beams. And if you're on the blue guy, he might spin his tail around and you have to jump rope style, jump over his tail.
Yeah, it's cool that we've got two bad guys attacking us. But those two bad guys that are attacking us are also the platform of the level that we're working with, too.
Right.
So they're living and moving and changing and trying to kill you, but also they're your only lifeline, basically.
As soon as I figured out what was happening, I was 100% in on this boss.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of almost an old Contra boss fight where you're like on the helicopter and then the helicopter gets blown up by some jet and you're jumping on the jet and then you're fighting a guy on the jet. That was the feeling that I had, because it was like, oh, I'm like, at first I thought the blue one was just like the one that I had to ride on, and it's like, oh, I have to kill this too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just in the air killing everything.
Killing it all.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, I didn't have, like, major issues with this one. Like, as soon as I figured out that I could charge up, you know, before I went onto the platforms to figure out, like, where I needed to be to duplicate his eyes or whatever, then I was fine. Like,
which that's where the we talk about filling the gauge that fills up faster would have come in handy because you're being attacked.
Nice. That would have been nice.
While you have to like line this up, and if one of your copies gets hit, you've got to restart and probably do a whole new pattern of eye at that point.
Yeah, that was kind of annoying for sure. And then what were those like towards? I feel like it's the second or third. There's like those little
birds. Like green birds or something?
Yeah, or like squids since we're doing a...
They look like squids to me.
Yeah, since we're doing like a sky ocean thing here, they were maybe more of an ocean creature.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kind of like a, you know, an old shoot 'em up game. They're just streaking by trying to mess you up as you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of movement, but yeah, it was definitely weird. But I didn't have any major issues with this one, so I was just glad to be done with the double jump.
it's
one of my favorite bosses.
It's one of the coolest ones to describe what you're doing, and one of the trippiest bosses in a game that is filled with trippy bosses.
And it's super colorful and like just wild and out there.
Yeah. For sure.
So we go and beat all them. Blow them up, because they explode like everything else.
Yes, naturally.
And then after that, we get the wind element.
Yay!
As well as a new heart container.
Finally.
So you can fill up on that. And that wraps up this episode.
Yeah.
For the next episode, we are beating this game.
Yay!
I don't know about you guys, there's still a lot. I still have a lot. I have like 4 or 5 heart containers I could still get. So
yeah,
another 20 heart pieces to find?
I think I've got 14. I completed that one heart container that was hiding in the dungeon came along at the exact right time when I needed it.
Oh.
I was really low, and it gave me, it was my fourth one, too. So
I was pretty happy about that.
I don't know what I've been doing, but I still only have one bottle.
I have two.
And I just
I got three
around.
Oh,
you got to go sneak into the back of the item shop. That'll be that's probably the easiest one to get first. I can't remember where the other one is.
When you get in a Kinstone treasure chest, you just randomly do a Kinstone thing. A treasure chest appears some random place. You open it. There's a bottle.
Is it Grandpa that you fuse with to get the other bottle?
I did it so long ago. Couldn't remember.
I think it might be Grandpa, but I don't know.
But go find all those things. Power yourself up, and we are going to fight Vati. We are going to end this madness on Shadow of the Wild.